today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Carnival Cruise Lines is notifying its guests of a pretty serious data breach, and Southwest Airlines is beginning to talk about flights over the pond to Europe. Details on those and other stories next in the news.
Seating on airplanes. Everyone has a seat assignment when they board, but some are intentionally ignoring what their boarding pass says. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we'll talk about what to do if you're trying for different seats on your flight.
At 11:35, we'll talk about why it's really against all protocols to touch flight attendants, even if it's just to get their attention. We'll explain proper manners.
Finally, in our odds and ends portion of the show at 11:50, we dream a little bit about the future of travel. What will some things look like 10 or 20 years from now?
Thanks for joining us live on Saturday morning or on the podcast at your leisure. You're listening to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. I've been everywhere, man. Get your kicks.
Show. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now you can check out links to our website and to our special guests and so much more always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, good to see you. How was your week?
It was good. It was good. In town. Headed off in the middle of next week overseas. I don't do this very often. Like, it's been 20 years since I went to Europe. You'd think a travel guy would be roaming the planet. I kind of like these United States and Canada, and there's a lot to see here, and people speak English here. And so, and my tummy likes the food a lot better on this continent than it does on the other one. But nonetheless, we're headed over to the Netherlands and Belgium and Luxembourg to try to put together a food and flower type trip for next year.
With your Pepto-Bismol on hand. Golly, are we going to do the travel guys from
we
where?
Are. I will be. We'll have to figure out the time difference situation. So we may have to tape it a few hours ahead. Just in order to get it when on a daytime when we're both awake. What are we, 8 or 9 hours difference over there? But, yes, we will be live or recently taped from Amsterdam next weekend on the Travel Guys. I haven't done a lot of traveling in Europe. I've been to the Czech Republic. I've been to the Netherlands and to London. And I really like the Netherlands. I really like the vibe there and the people there. I confess I haven't been there for almost 30 years. So I really am looking forward to the opportunity to go back and just kind of see if what I remember is still what it is. Because if it is, I always thought the Netherlands was a really cool place. And that people there kind of got it on a different level. But, you know, it's who knows? We'll see what things are. Or what the update is from over there, but I'll be with you from Europe next week.
All right. Hey, let's get a report from you in regards to food places on Terminal B.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk to folks just briefly about this. You know, a lot of times when we're going to the airport, it's like, especially if you're going in the middle of the day, well, you know, I won't stop and get something to eat. I'll eat when I get to the airport because I got to be early, and then I've got that block of time, and I can fill that by having lunch or whatever. Just know that if you're flying out of Terminal B right now, there are very limited places to eat in Terminal B. That's where Southwest and Alaska and the overnight flights to Mexico go from. I don't know if there's anybody else over there or not. But anyways, if you're going out there, just be aware of the fact that there's a West Coast sourdough deli that's opened up. And, of course, there's snacks and stuff available in the concession stands, but there really is very, very limited. Now, that won't last very long, and we'll get Scott from the airport on to talk to us about this. But I just noticed when I was flying the other day that, boy, they had shut down two places that were still open, and just about everything in Terminal B, food-wise, is shut down. So if you go out there or if you only have a short period of time and there's a line or something like that, you may not be able to get fed. So I thought that was a legitimate travel tip. Over in Terminal A, Things are looking much better. They've completed, redone several of the food places over there. A Wendy's restaurant has opened up in Terminal A. So if you're a fast food person or you want something on the fly, I don't think Wendy's food is as good as it used to be. But maybe that's just one man's opinion. But anyhows, if you're going out and you're flying out of Terminal A, just know that the options for food right now are limited out there. Pretty soon, you're going to have more choices than you ever had. But for right now,
under construction.
Under construction.
A lot of stuff. Well, all right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's a couple of my favorites that are going into Terminal B. And looking forward to it. All righty, this is the Travel Guys, and at the top of every program, we find a way to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, what's new, Mark?
What is new? Carnival Cruise Lines sent out a notice to many of its guests. They had a cyber attack earlier this year, and a lot of personal data was accessed. Nearly 6 million people were impacted by the attack. That's not all Carnival customers, but that's some of those were Carnival customers. They're offering those affected a free 2-year credit monitoring service subscription. So I have this so that if somebody were to break into your accounts, you've got somebody else who's kind of out there monitoring things. And if something screwy happens on one of your accounts, why, then they'll send you a notice and say, hey, maybe you should take a look at that. So Carnival is at least trying to make this right with people. The attack happened in mid-April. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah here. Wow. 3 lawsuits already filed against the cruise line, accusing them of negligence in the handling of customers' personal data. Just remember, folks, no matter what you're told, at my company, we don't keep people's data on the internet. We don't try to make money off of collecting data and reselling it to other folks, because to me, if anything goes wrong and somebody gets into your database, that's really a huge breach of trust with your customers. So we're a smaller company, so we're able to do things a little bit differently that perhaps costs us a little bit of technology, but still knowing that our customers' data is safe. But anyway, if you've cruised with Carnival Cruise Lines recently, just be aware of the fact that some of their customers, a good portion of their customers, have had some of their data exposed. Here's a little bit of airline news from Alaska Airlines. I thought about this earlier and never saw anything about it until now. Alaska and Hawaiian combined together earlier in the year. And so, I mean, think about it. Those are two entirely different cultures. One airline flies to places where the snow piles up over your head, and the other one flies to places where people are at luau's and putting flowers in their hair. Mm-hmm. So inevitably, some of the Hawaiian flight attendants are going to go to work on an Alaska flight and vice versa. Those Hawaiian flight attendants have worn flowers in their hair for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on Alaska flights, they don't want the flight attendants wearing flowers in their hair. If an Alaska flight attendant gets on a Hawaiian flight, then they're okay with that. I'm talking about they being the airline itself. So there's been some pushback. The outfits are a little bit different. And apparently the Hawaiian flight attendants like their outfits better than the Alaska flight attendants like theirs. So they're reluctant to give up. So I have to believe that somebody somewhere in Alaska must have thought about some of this stuff happening along the way before they merged the two groups together. But how interesting that it really comes down to, you know, how do your employees feel about working for your company has a lot to do about how they feel, you know, in their body, in their attire and whatever it is that they're going to work at. So Alaska and Hawaiian are having a little bit of an issue about flowers in your hair. Remember that? That's been about 50 years ago since the music.
Yeah, Scott McKenzie.
Yeah.
If you're going to San Francisco, okay.
Hey,
if you're going to Hawaii and you're a flight attendant, wear flowers in your hair.
Exactly. American Airlines is going to add Starlink Wi-Fi in 2027. Slowly but surely, all of the airlines are kind of coming over to Starlink. It really is a huge improvement. Before Starlink, airline Wi-Fi was, you know, some days it worked and some days it didn't. And if it worked, it never worked with any real efficiency. But now that's not the case. And so American is going to jump on board. But, and this is kind of a mystery, they're only going to add Starlink to their Airbus planes. And they didn't announce why. So everybody's trying to figure out why it is. What is it that about Boeing airplanes that, because lots of companies have Starlink on Boeing planes. But anyway, the bottom line to this is that American will have more reliable Wi-Fi starting at some time next year on some of their planes. The boss at Ryanair, a European airline, wants to ban 5 a.m. drinking at airports. This seems to make some real sense. The Michael O'Leary of Ryanair's CEO says he wants authorities to crack down on those pubs selling liquor to passengers at the crack of dawn. His airline has taken a real strong stance against people getting on board the plane intoxicated. It's interesting to note that his airline has not stopped selling liquor to people on board planes, but wants to crack down on. Can you imagine going to the airport, Tom, and getting on a flight at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning and having to deal with somebody who was already over their limit, so to speak?
Oh, man. No, come on. Wait for 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, it was 5 o'clock. It's just not the 5 o'clock that you're used to.
Yeah. A.M.
A.M.
Yeah.
Road rage. Where do you suppose, just off the top of your head, think about this for a second, Tom. Where do you suppose the lowest road rage is in the country?
We talked about this last week. We knew what the highest was.
We
but
did.
For whatever the reason, you found it, hey?
I did.
The lowest road rage, Hawaii.
Wow, that's an amazingly almost correct guess. Hawaii is second. Minnesota is first, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, well, okay. People in Minnesota are just kind of nice people, and they're kind of laid back, so that doesn't surprise me a lot. Hawaii is second, and this is who sent this out? I kept this page about. I don't have the thing from last week, but. People are, this has to do with how aggressive are you, how many accidents are there, due to drunk driving, driving deaths per 100,000 population for the year that's all this data was pulled, which was 2021, aggressive driving laws, how many accidents in the state compared to other states, things of that sort. But anyway, Minnesota takes the crown as having the least confrontational drivers on the road. Hawaii second, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. I wouldn't have guessed those two.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, New York, Nebraska, Maryland, Alaska, and New Jersey round out the top 10. Of course, in Alaska, that's only if you run into the other person who's on the road.
You know, I can think of a place that probably was totally overlooked, but there's a very good reason why. And you were there not too long ago. Newfoundland, no cars?
I think this is just the states, but Newfoundland would be very high on that list because their people are also very laid back. So good point there. Did we talk last week about how you could get to the airport? We've talked about this a few weeks ago, but there's another update on getting there by bus from Framingham, Massachusetts.
No, we didn't. We talked about shuttles, I don't know what to call them, taxis.
Yeah,
but not the bus thing.
So,
what about it?
Well, and as we've talked before on this program about how some, with close-in cities now, some airlines are making a short bus ride to the airport part of your ticket, and some people don't always know that until they go to get on the plane/bus. But in Framingham, Massachusetts, they've carried us one step further. They now have TSA inspection. Actually, it's a private security company doing your inspections. So they can drive you right onto the tarmac. So you don't have to, if you get on and you pay $9 for a bus ticket, and then I'm guessing you're going to have to pay something to park there too. But you can, it's 22 miles away from the airport or about 50 minutes without traffic. They'll drive right onto the airfield and drop passengers off at the airside of Terminal A, which is where Delta and JetBlue are. And if those are not your airline, why, then you can go somewhere else. But what a great idea. So that that takes those people completely out of the whole mess of getting through security and check-in and all of that stuff by moving it off-site. So that's
fascinating. Later on in the program, we're going to talk about the future of travel, and this will come up again.
Yeah, it will. It will. Okay. We talked last week, of course, about road rage, and I apologize for the fact that I didn't have the least state until this week. Hey, here's something that's going on at airports. I saw one of these the other day. Airlines, of course, will not let you on the plane if you're wearing something that is obscene or what they consider to be over-the-top suggestive or things like that.
So and you saw one of these, huh?
It's become a new contest to see what you can wear on the plane on a T-shirt and not get kicked off.
Oh, you're talking about the graphics that people... graphic design on a T-shirt. You sent me that article. That was pretty astounding looking stuff.
And I can't even repeat a lot of them.
Yes.
Here. Here's one that I can say on the air. Turbulence makes me horny. I have a bomb in my butt. Let's see here. Feeling a little gassy today. Just remember, I'm giving you the ones that I can say on the air. No, I can't do that one.
Did you post a link?
Yeah, I did. So if you want to see these online, you can. You may be able to see them in airports. I can't believe that. Here's one: need two male volunteers for a threesome. That's literally on the front of a T-shirt. There are a lot of these that I just can't say. So you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see a list of all of these. Or if you go to the airport, you may see them. The airlines have gotten a little bit stricter about what they allow people to wear on planes. This is going to come up again. This is going to be a story again. Trust me.
Did you say you saw one the other day? Do you remember what it was?
Airlines say I can't wear this T-shirt. They can go and themselves, and it was just a finger extended.
Okay.
So, as opposed to the entire F word spelled out. So I guess that was, that was the person's way of rebelling. And, you know, I don't really care what you wear on an airplane. I mean, I care much more that you take a bath, and that all of your private parts are covered. I mean, after that, I really don't care. We're not starting a relationship or something like that. But common decency kind of says that you should, you know, get on an airplane. It's a public place. You got to go through airports. There are small children there. Not everybody share. If you're a person who's comfortable in wearing one of these shirts, not everybody shares that level of comfort. So just be aware of that before you get out there. One last story here before we wrap up the news. Southwest Airlines is starting to look past these United States and Canada. They've already made a few shots out into the ocean, Hawaii and stuff like that. They're now looking at flights to Europe, also talking about first class cabins on international flights. So Southwest is not done fiddling around with their business model yet. It looks like that Baltimore, Washington would be the headquarters for international flights because there's space there and there's some other logistical reasons that would be a good spot for Southwest. But anyways, we have a nonstop from Sacramento to Baltimore, a red eye right now. But my guess is that if Southwest makes that into an international hub, then we will probably see more service from Sacramento. And that's your travel news for today.
All righty. And we are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. And when we return... You know, seating assignments. Everybody's got them these days, and everyone has a. Sometimes when people get on the plane, they walk over and they may not like the seat that they picked, or there may be somebody sitting in it. We're going to discuss what to do if you'd like to have a different seat than the one you got. That's next here on the Travel Guide. It must be time for more travel and entertainment, guys. According to the music there, Anthony. Thank you so much for handling things today. Anthony Lucas back at the radio station, always doing a spectacular job. And if you listen during the week, you'll hear him doing sports talk on this show and that show. Heard you on the morning show the other day. You're a high-profile kind of guy to be spending your time running the knobs here with the travel guys, Anthony.
I appreciate it. This is the best show of the week.
All right, man. Okay. The gift cards are in the mail.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, I take
okay.
cash.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. Okay, Mark, let's get started on this seating thing.
Yeah, yeah. This is to people who get on an airplane and they don't have the seat that they want, and many of them, their attitude is just, well, I'll just get on and get somebody to switch with me. Well, and that's, that's fine, depending on how you approach it or what you have to trade. In a lot of cases, seating assignments, getting a different seat on a plane, if you've got a middle seat in the back and you're trying to get an aisle seat in Economy Plus from somebody, that's not going to happen. They already paid extra money for that, and you have a crappy seat. So if you're trying to see, if you're both sitting in the back, and, you're two rows apart from the people you want to sit with, and you're asking for a window and you have a window to trade, or you're willing to take a middle seat and you have an aisle, then you're really in business. But a lot of it has to do with what can you offer? So if you don't have the seat that you want, try to get the most negotiable seat on the plane that you can, if that makes sense. If you're stuck in a middle seat in the back, try to get an aisle seat in the back, so that you've got a little more something to offer to the other person. And never, ever, ever, I really don't suggest this, getting on the plane and just plopping yourself down in a seat that isn't yours and figuring, well, when the person comes that this seat belongs to, I'll talk them out of it. I'll get them. First of all, that's really poor protocol. And I really don't suggest that you do that. Because I've watched these situations on airplanes for many years, and the ones that work the best are when somebody gets on board and somebody says, excuse me, but for X reason, it would really be helpful if I could get this seat. I'm seated in 17D, which is four rows back on the aisle there. Would you be willing to switch with me? And the person oftentimes is traveling alone because you've already got the seat, in many cases, next to them. So it's like, well, yeah, sure, I'll be a good person, and it doesn't make any difference. I can go back a few rows or something like that. But if you're, again, if you're trying to trade from a basic fare to an upgraded fare, then nobody's going to take you up on that because they paid money for that, unless you're willing to, reimburse them for it. Why, then I guess that might be a possibility. But it's really, it's how you approach it is really half of the game, at least. And if you get on the plane and you're kind and thoughtful to the person that you're negotiating with, most of those end well. Some of them end well even when you're trading a middle seat for an aisle seat. You would think that nobody would do that, but sometimes it's all in your approach. If you've got a middle seat that's up in Economy Plus and you want an aisle seat in the back of the plane, then that's a little different situation also. So think about what you have to trade. Try to get the best trading material before you approach a situation. Obviously, you want to ask at the gate, we're in 12B and 18F, and can you get us together somehow? And in many cases, as it gets closer to flight time, the gate agent, if they're being helpful and are customer service oriented, they'll be happy to help you. They don't want people to get on the airplane and be unhappy, even though it does seem that way sometimes.
Right, yeah.
It's much
that's
better.
That's not going to benefit them in any way. So the flight attendants will help with that then.
Well, they will. And the other thing,
or the gate agent.
If you get on, yes, before you get on the plane, and once you're on the plane, if you get on the plane and somebody's in your seat, and you can't get them to get out, don't get into an argument with them. Just hit the call button, step out of the aisle so that people behind you can get on the plane, and just hit the call button. This isn't the first time the flight attendant has dealt with this situation. It's probably not even the first time today they've dealt with the situation. So they are trained to come and handle that and help explain to the person who's sitting in your seat that perhaps they need to go sit in the seat that belongs to them, or maybe they should just get off the plane would be their other option. So if you run into a situation where a person is being obstinate or they just won't get out of your assigned seat, don't push the envelope or make any threats or anything. Be the bigger person. Just hit the flight attendant call button wait for the flight attendant to call, explain briefly what's going on, and let and then just stay out of the way and let them take care of the rest, because they will.
You know, it happens a lot. Well, I can't say it happens a lot, but on occasion, sporting events, you go to the row you think you're supposed to be in, you're looking at the seat numbers, and you see somebody sitting in what you think is the seat that you're supposed to be in. Mm-hmm. But in fact, when you look at your ticket a little closer, yeah, no, this is not even your section. So with an airplane, it's a little bit more obvious what row and seats are, but on occasion you might run into somebody who got a little confused and they're supposed to be in the seats on the other side, ABC, DEF. So, you know, be patient before you start, you know, jumping down their throats about sitting in your seat. Just be sure that you check your seat and make sure that you're not in the wrong place.
Glad you mentioned that. Just happened to me recently on a trip, literally. Set one row further back than I was supposed to be, because on the second flight, that was the row that I had. So anyways, yes, a little kindness and checking your boarding pass is a good idea.
All right. Protocol. Is it okay to touch a flight attendant? Details next here on The Travel Guys.
Going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sports Leisure Vacations, we're always looking to the future. What does the future bring for travel for us? Here are a couple of ideas we're working on now. Our first visit back to Death Valley in nearly a dozen years. Death Valley, of course, is a national park, and it's a wonderful place to visit in the middle of the winter. I'm not sure I'd go quite there in the summertime, but in the middle of the winter, it's a great place, and it's also a very beautiful place. Death Valley, coming from Sports Leisure Vacations, that will be late this year or early 2027. And in the spring of 2027, I leave in just a couple of days to head to the Netherlands and to Amsterdam in Belgium. We are putting together a flower tour for next year, not flower like in food, flower like in beautiful, like tulips and all types of flowers that the Netherlands are known for, with some extended time in Amsterdam and in Belgium. So that's coming up on the schedule next year. Always something exciting on the in the plans at Sports Leisure Vacations.
Awesome. Oh, boy. I'll tell you, Mark hasn't been across the big pond in quite some time. Are you looking forward to this excursion?
I'm not a across the pond person. You know this. That's why this is a setup. I'm not a I went to Europe I've been in this business for 47 years. So I went there about, 30 to 35 years ago. And the first two trips over there, I had some kind of stomach issue. And, travelers.
And you blamed it on foreign food.
I'm a picky eater. And so I decided, my stomach basically told me when we got back after the second trip, they said, if you try that again, we're not going. So I basically abandoned. Plus, the other thing is, there's a lot of cool stuff to see in this country, and I'm a huge fan of Canada.
Right.
So, and somewhat of Mexico. So there's a lot to see on this continent. But anyway, yeah, you're right. I haven't been over the pond in decades. We're going to fly to New York and see Death of a Salesman with Nathan Lane, which is an old traditional Broadway show brought to life again by a great performer, and then on to Amsterdam for a few nights and go into Belgium a little bit, maybe into Luxembourg and check out some things. But basically, we're looking at food and flowers.
Food and flowers.
He carries it everywhere he goes. And and not only do you say that, but also experts in the travel industry say over and over again, mm-hmm. if there's one thing you want to carry with you, it's some Pepto-Bismol tablets or liquid or whatever. So,
all right. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Don't forget, you can catch us at travelguysradio.com. All right, let's pick up and continue with kind of an ongoing saga, if you will, Mark.
Well, the last week we talked about a story where an internet gal said that you could go to the library and book your airline ticket. And if you use the library's computer, the computer wouldn't know who you were. And so you would get a fair price, because increasingly people are concerned that airlines, hotel chains, other people are creating profiles of them. And when you go online, your profile determines what the price is, not, you know, so it's basically it's dynamic pricing at its utmost. But the airlines say that is not happening. Absolutely not happening. JetBlue has been sued by a couple of people who say that it is happening. One thing that we pointed out last week and that I'll point out again is that prices for airline tickets now, dynamic pricing, it is not unusual at all for someone to call us in the morning and say, hey, you know, I'd like to maybe upgrade to first class on that trip to New York City. And we say, okay, well, here's the price. And they'll say, okay, well, let me think about that and I'll get back to you. They call you back in the afternoon and they say, you know, I've decided I want to take that upgrade. And you look it up and you find that the pricing is $50 more, $100 more, $50 less. It isn't just always higher. Sometimes it's lower. But because of that dynamic pricing, it's changing often. And so the Washington Post sent a reporter to the library with some made-up itineraries that she had gotten from friends who had already done some searches. And she did some searches at one library and then another, and she found that there was no – then she went on her own computer and tried to pull up the same itineraries, found there was absolutely no difference in the pricing. So I don't know if this is going on or not. I don't have any specific reference myself that would tell me. We look up a lot of airline prices here at Sports Leisure Vacations. And as I said, it's not unusual for prices to be different even within a couple hours of something of each other. So if you find something that you like, just know that, you know, it may not still be there, or they have this thing called Fairlock. I know at United, I don't know if the other carriers have it too, where you pay them a fee and for 3, 5, or 7 days, they'll keep that fare for you. So if you want to, but you're out the fee no matter what, whether you buy the ticket or not.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I've seen fares change. Be searching for a trip, and you know, within the same day, it'll change a few dollars one way or the other. So, and I'm not logged in as me on the Southwest website or whatever, but it just kind of moves around.
Well, and I guess this would work for almost anything. I mean, Amazon, you could go on, and if you'd bought a product before and paid $10 for it, you know, maybe they figure that now you'd pay $11 for it. So obviously this could easily happen. And my guess is that it's just around the corner. But the airlines are saying at least that it's not happening yet. And the Washington Post kind of vouches for that.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, moving on.
An airline walked back a somewhat controversial policy.
You mentioned that to me, and I was sitting here thinking, what does walk back mean?
Well, that means if you announce something and then you walk it back. You say, oh, no, we're not going to do that.
We're going to do a rewind here, reset.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So Southwest Airlines for many years had a policy that people of size, they got to the airport, and they knew that, you know, they would take up more than one seat. They could buy an extra seat, and the airline, regardless of how full the plane was, anything, the airline, after the flight with trip was over, would refund you the second seat. So it was kind of a really great policy for people of size because it meant that if you were willing to put up the money to before your flight, you could get it back afterwards. You didn't have to overflow onto somebody or scrunch somebody or didn't have to be scrunched. So it was a really good idea. I was frankly thought it was very favorable to customers, and no other airline had a policy like that. When Southwest made all their changes, they rolled this back.
Oh, that's too bad.
And they said, okay, now you have to buy an extra seat. If the plane is full, you don't get a refund.
Yeah.
And, of course, people of size who had gotten used to that rather liberal policy for many years were like, WTF? I mean, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and of course, in this day and age, you know, things like that can get a lot of publicity, and you know, you're fat shaming or you're you know, you're making these people feel bad, and I get that, I understand that. So Southwest just said, you know, we've gotten a lot of grief on this, so we're going to walk this back some. If you're willing to buy the seat before you get to the airport,
mm-hmm.
the extra seat, then we're going to go back to the old policy. So I've read this release from Southwest three times, and it's so full of flowery compliments. It looks like the president's cabinet meeting. it's so full of flowery compliments that I'm not exactly sure what the new policy is, but it resembles the old policy more than it does the previous, the most recent one. So if you are a person of size, get a hold of Southwest Airlines before you buy your next ticket and clarify what that policy will be. I think it's going to be something that's going to be a little bit easier to stomach, a little bit more to your liking than what they had before. And good for Southwest Airlines for listening to their customers, because that's kind of sort of the point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and which makes you stop and say to yourself, well, if I have an issue, if there is something that's bugging me, I should bring it forward and let them know, because, they will take actions in some case.
Well, and I raved and ranted about Internet folks and influencers last week and stuff like that. But this is a situation where that probably had a positive effect. I mean, if it pops up, you don't want to be in the news with a negative headline every day. If you're the CEO at Southwest Airlines, after about day four, you're like, you know what, we need to take another look at this. If you're a real person, if you're not, why then, if you're, you know, a person that's turned into a bot, why then you're whatever. But I congratulate Southwest for taking a look at that. Speaking of things that you should and shouldn't do, a flight attendant has written an article that has come my way. Please stop touching the flight attendants. Flight attendants are tired of being touched. And even if it's just an innocent, you know, tap on the shoulder or something like that, not appropriate. This lady went and talked to a bunch of flight attendants, very experienced people, people who are members of their union, officers in their, officials in their union and stuff like that. Unanimously, they all say, please don't touch the flight attendant. That's what the call button is for. Even if the flight attendant is standing, you know, let's say, for example, they just served you your beverage and you didn't get a napkin, you know, and you want a napkin, or you wanted a slice of lime in your water or something like that. Not appropriate to tap the flight attendant, even if he or she is standing right there. Appropriate thing to do is hit the call button above your seat. And of course, the flight attendant's right there, and they'll say, you know, how can I help you? The flight attendant's gone a couple rows past you, and, you know, you were dozing or something, and you want to get a beverage instead of reaching over if you're an aisle seat and tapping the flight attendant. Don't do that. They don't like it. Unanimously, they don't like it, whether they're a male or a female, whether it's just a tap on the arm or the shoulder. Some of them report being tapped in other places that might not be as appropriate.
Yeah. You know,
I'd like to think that we're more grown up than that, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if the flight attendant is standing near you in the aisle and you're seated, and they're obviously not, you know, tapping them on the leg or whatever would be kind of like instinctive, but don't do that.
Just don't do that. Yeah, I'm just here to tell you.
We had a flight attendant that was kind enough to spent some time with us on the air many years ago, and we covered a lot of things that they don't like being called stewardess or honey.
Honey, yes.
Yeah, and that sort of thing. And being touched, I do believe, was one of the things that was brought up.
Yeah,
okay.
This is not something new, and I thought it was so well written by this gal, and she just basically said, you know, it's just not – no matter what the situation is, it's just not appropriate. So I just thought I would share that. We have lots of people who fly often who listen to this program, some who don't fly so often. So the call button above your seat, even if the flight attendant is right there, I mean, unless you're looking at them, obviously, and you can verbally get their attention. But if you can't do that, then the best thing to do is hit the call button. All right, before we take a break here, I had one other thing here. This is from the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine gave me this article, so thank you, Walter. What travel might look like in 20 years? And I won't go into the whole thing. And the bummer is I can't send you a link to it because the Wall Street Journal is password protected. But you might go on the internet and say what travel might look like in 20 years. And this article might come up, not password protected. But anyway, they talk about such thing as, you know, the modern airport. Everybody goes to the airport, whether you're being dropped off or picked up. Somebody takes you there, you Uber, whatever. That there will be in the future, there will be neighborhood airports. And you will go there, and maybe one every couple of miles. And you will go there, and three or four other other people. You will go through security, and you'll get on to a helicopter-like item, which will take you right to the airport. There won't be any security because you've already cleared it. Your bags will have already been tagged, and they will go to into the baggage system when you get to the airport. So it would make things a lot simpler. There wouldn't be a lot of long lines for people to wait in and the like. The design of airports would probably change pretty dramatically, I would say. They talk about demand-controlled destinations, about how some of the destinations that are already having problems with overcrowding during peak seasons, that that's going to get worse, and that what you're going to see for really big attractions and the like is all-time dated ticketing, so that they will be able to control the number of people who are coming, and that's probably a good thing. Means people don't have to stand in lines and the like. Space hotels, that instead of staying at a hotel on land, you'll stay at a hotel that'll be floating in the sky.
20 you know, years,
You say, well, but listen, they talked to a guy from New York University's Center of Hospitality. This gentleman says that these could emerge as early as the 2030s. He says, because the technology is almost there. So wouldn't that be cool to be in the sky? They talk about faster air travel. Remember, we had supersonic travel across the pond to London and back for a while. But they talk about how all travel, all airline travel, will be at supersonic speeds. So, you know, you'll go San Francisco to Los Angeles in 15 minutes. You'll spend more time on the tarmac than you spend in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, instead of planes taxiing out on tarmacs, they talk about how, same thing as this airport, neighborhood airport concept, you'll get on an airplane which will just take off from the gate. You know, it'll just take off into the sky from the gate, and off you will go. So there won't be any of this taxiing around the airport anymore. So, anyways, some interesting thoughts on what travel might look like 20 years from now. If you'd have told people before 9/11, that would have been 25 years ago, what travel would look like now, nobody would have gotten it right.
Yeah. Well, you know, things are moving along a lot faster than we can keep up. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you each week by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Let's see here. Mark, let's talk about tipping again.
Yeah, well, it's it's a topical subject. You know, there are lots of people who feel tipping is way out of hand. And then there are people who have worked in jobs where they were tipped. I'm a tour director on occasion, and so people put money in an envelope to me at the end of and give it to me at the end of a tour and say, here, you know, you did a good job, and how good of a job you did is when you open the envelope, you'll know. So I get it. I understand completely. My tour directors are all in a situation where gratuities, motor coach drivers, a lot of the people that we deal with along the way when we're out traveling are people that we tip or don't tip. This article was about an interesting thing, though, called the Flat Five.
The Flat Five. No matter what your service was like, no matter how large your bill was or small, Flat Five, $5.
That's it, $5. For some people, it's $10. And they're like, well, you know, that's enough. That's enough. And I can't even imagine going to a restaurant, you know, and four people dine and the bill's $125 and paying the bill. You put $5 on as a gratuity.
No.
Just the only thing I say is, and I'm just as soured on gratuities as many of the people who are listening to this program are. But think about the fact that, especially in a restaurant, in California, restaurant workers make a lot more money than they used to. I'm not saying that they're all getting rich, but they make a decent wage. You know, it's kind of like we did with our farm workers a number of years ago. We said, look, people can't work for pennies. But people do work almost literally for pennies in many other states in the union. In some states, the tipped minimum wage is as low as $2.13 an hour.
Yeah, my daughter was in the restaurant business in San Antonio for a number of years, and I was shocked when I heard that these people were getting paid $2-3 an hour, and they were relying completely on what their tips were. And there would be a lot of people who travel through or involved in a situation like that and have no idea.
No. And in many southern states, the minimum they work off the minimum federal minimum wage, which is $7. I think it's $7.23, something like that. And so those folks are making $7 an hour plus whatever they get tips. So when you're mad at the system, be careful that you don't penalize somebody who's just trying to make a living. Plus, in many restaurants, the front of the house gratuities are shared with the back of the house. So in some cases, you know, you leave $5. Well, 20% of that or 25% of that is being split among other staff in the restaurant. So you didn't really leave the server $5. You left them $4 or $3.75 or something like that. Everybody has their own standards when it comes to tipping. The only thing I'm just suggesting here is that don't shoot the messenger. If the service was good and the person presented themselves well and did a good job, then don't punish them. You know, you can complain to your friends about how tipping is not what it should be, but be careful that you don't punish the person all the way at the bottom of the heap. We had Tom up. We got just a minute here to kind of mention something. United States, our wonderful government, has drawn up plans to halt immigration and customs processing at what they call sanctuary city airports. This would involve California because Los Angeles and San Francisco are considered sanctuary airports. And the government's argument is if you're not going to help us with people who are coming into the country perhaps illegally, then to hell with you. We're not going to help you process those people into the country, which on some level makes a little bit of sense. But if you're going to pick out just the sanctuary cities, I think that's you're going to have some, first of all, it's going to throw the travel industry into complete and total chaos. They're talking about this starting after the World Cup, which, of course, has turned out to be somewhat of a bomb for the tourism industry. All these hotels that thought they were going to get rich by screwing people on the prices they were charging have had their hats handed back to them in many cities. So good for the soccer fans and football fans who are not paying those exorbitant prices. But our country has sent a message to people. Hey, don't come here. And if you do, we're going to charge you a lot of money and harass you. And especially if your skin is not white. So why would you waste your money and come here? You know, the World Cup will be in another country. You can go and see it there. So this would cause a lot of problems. I'm sure there are people on both sides of the argument. I'm just saying if you're going to go after immigration, people are immigrating to the country illegally. This is not the way to do it. I suspect that this will never get off the ground. It's part of the fear factor that the current government seems to like to rely on a regular basis. So I don't think there's any possibility of this happening because I think the airlines and the travel industry would come back at the president really, really quickly if this got closer to fruition. But who knows? Who knows? Anyways, that's a couple of odds and ends items for today. We are just about to the end of our program here. We will be back to talk to you again next Saturday at 11 o'clock with some things to make you a smarter traveler. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next Saturday, 11 a.m., for another edition of The Travel Guys.